nothing most of us wouldn't do to make sure the special moms in our life are happy. Well, it's all about making sure I get my mom, I get my wife something she will love. And man, will she love Sherry's Berries. They have special Mother's Day berries designed just for mom that are topped with chocolate chips, pink shimmer sugar, and swizzles. Man, these are delicious. Delicious, and you can get them for Mother's Day. You choose your delivery date to ensure mom gets your gift of Sherry's Berries exactly when you want her to, and your satisfaction's always guaranteed. Don't wait until the last minute on this one. Visit berries.com today to order freshly dipped strawberries starting at $19.99 for the moms in your life. To make mom really happy, you can double the berries for just $10 more. Mother's Day is Sunday, May 12th, so visit berries.com. That's berries.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right corner and enter the code morning after. That's berries.com. Click the microphone, enter code morning after.
Every night is a blast at Country Rock Cabaret, but they also put on exclusive cabaret events a few times a month for something extra special. Country Rock's theme parties are where you can dress up and go a little crazy, or just kick back and enjoy the view. Come out on May 10th and 11th, test your skills, and try the new and improved midget bowling at Country Rock Cabaret. Midget bowling features Bad Boy Brian and Bud Light bottles for only $3.50. It all happens on May 10th and 11th at Country Rock Cabaret, located in Sauget.
Hey, this is Tim McKernan for Design Air Heating and Cooling. I am not just here to tell you about a client. I am here to tell you that I am a client. And when we were working on our home, we made sure that we had Design Air Heating and Cooling handle it. Call Design Air today to schedule your tune-up so your air conditioning is ready for the summer. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest, and it's hard to stop a train. It's Design Air Heating and Cooling, the official air conditioning company of the morning after. Contact them at designairservice.com.
Biggie's Restaurant and Bar has been a staple of the community for over 27 years. At Biggie's, they pride themselves on service and great food. They make all of their dressings, marinades, and pasta sauces in-house. Biggie's is famous for their garlic cheese bread, steak sandwich, and their homemade white French dressing. Come in every Tuesday and Thursday for barbecue pork steaks, and every Thursday and Sunday for Biggie's famous fried chicken. Located at 3332 Watson Road, check them out online at biggiesrestaurant.com.
Grab your coat and get your hat.
Leave your worries. We know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, just direct your feet,
Just direct your feet.
Yeah, we know.
To the sunny side of the street.
It sounds like I'm grouchy and in a bad mood. But I'm not. I'm actually in a really good mood because it's my Friday.
And that happy.
It's Thursday. Woohoo!
What?
You heard me.
Life can be so sweet.
It's yours, too. You're off tomorrow, too, you know.
Well, but I'm not off Saturday.
Oh, you're hard working. You
we, have the, on Saturday we have the yard sale with Scott Sherman.
That's right. Saturday morning. You have to work.
And we have started a new tradition for the blues.
Hold that thought. The lady worked very hard. She was a female coal miner. Her entire body was covered with soot, except for her vagina. Hey, now, come on. That was impromptu. That was written on the spot. Didn't even have time to sit down and ponder that, because Tim threw down the gauntlet, the challenge, and wanted to know if I could come up with a couple of poems. And then that was a day when all cylinders were firing, and I was able to do that. That's not every day, by the way. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on this May 9th, the 9th of May, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
That's right, I keep forgetting it's the 3rd of June. It's another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Yeah.
Good to bring back old. Good to bring back old, worn-out stuff that we ran into the ground. Let's run it into the ground again. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the May 9th edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. It's going to be a good day today. I got an update on little Jude Hewitt. A good update. And Scott Sherman will be in the 4 o'clock hour. So if you have any legal issues, something that's bugging you and you'd like some legal answers to it, it won't cost you anything. Attorneys are expensive. You know, $200, $300, even some of them $400 or $500 an hour. You don't have to pay that. Scott's here giving it away. That'll be in the 4 o'clock hour, as it is every Thursday.
And that's what she said.
What is what she said?
Giving it away.
Where's the crickets, Limey?
Scott's giving it away.
You need to have crickets on that one hit.
I gotta have it ready.
Why would she say that? Why would she say? See, you see, if I said something like, "Well, I just thought it would be bigger," and then you said, "That's what she said." See, that's funny. See, listen, the kids are laughing at it. Yeah. But what you did wasn't funny.
Well,
Scott's Sadie. Giving it away. That's what she. That means that she said Scott's giving it away. It doesn't make sense. Yeah, right there you go, right there. That's what you deserve, right there. And there's a one story that I saved from Las Vegas that I didn't. I shared it with Dan off the air. It's a pretty good story, actually. And it's something that happened to me when I was in Vegas that I didn't expect to happen. Not like a big win or anything.
No, with that prostitute?
Far from it. No, not that either. That was a story, Dan, just for you. Thanks a lot. It's another story. But let's do this. I think right now is when we're probably supposed to have, or pretty soon, John Londo.
Yes, pretty soon.
On the phone.
I can get him right now if you want.
Well, let's do that. Let's get him now because I want to let him get it out of his system. Tim, I got a couple of emails with Tim Woodward didn't know what he's talking about. They were going to play here, but Cher was tying up the venue, and now they're not playing here. At the time, was that known that they wouldn't play here, or was that still up in the air where the first game would be?
Whoever emailed you is wrong. The Post-Dispatch even reported it. All I did was look it up as well. And I even texted somebody who's in executive management about the Blues saying, if the NHL wanted to play that game on Friday, would you be able to move the concert? And they said, no, we are locked in. We'll have to delay it. The Eastern Conference Finals start tonight, Thursday. The Western Conference Finals, under a best-case scenario by the NHL, would start 2 days after the Game 7 of the previously completed series. People who emailed you are wrong.
But they're playing there.
It doesn't matter. Here. San Jose also had a conflict Friday night.
Okay, hold on, Tim. But when you said won't be able to play it here because of Cher, they're not playing here anyway.
But if Colorado would have won the game last night, the Blues would have had home ice advantage and would have had games 1 and 2 at home. But San Jose won last night, so they have home ice advantage.
He did.
Games 1 and 2 there.
So at the time you said it, we didn't know yet.
I said if Colorado wins.
Yes.
Okay.
Can you explain?
You get a pass. No. You skate on this one. It's okay.
Good.
It's okay.
Can you explain why they won't
play? Hey, man, I'm not siding with anybody, them or you. I'm just telling you that there are a couple of people that heard it. And you got to know something about some listeners. They're waiting for mistakes. And they have no trouble finding them on this show.
There's a
boatload of mistakes.
I actually made 2 mistakes on the show yesterday, but that wasn't one of them.
Can you explain why we're not going to have a game at the Scott Trade on Saturday, please?
Because San Jose finished with 101.
No, who's performing?
No one.
Oh.
San Jose has home ice advantage, so they get games 1 and 2 at home. We didn't know that during the show yesterday because they had to play last night.
Can you just say Cher for me?
Cher.
Freed. Freed.
All right, thank you. That's all I needed.
We have John on the phone, but I've lost everything. I have to re-put everything up on my screen. So
just another typical day at the old radio station. Nothing working. Equipment not working. Well, if you say he's on here, I'll take your word for it. Ladies and gentlemen, a man who is going to be on the edge of his seat again Saturday night when the Blues play the first of the only 7 games remaining before the final, and hopefully they can pull that off too. And if they do, we're going to have to get some blood pressure medicine for this guy and for Dan. Ladies and gentlemen, John Londoff. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is this I'm an admitted idiot. Is this the first time they've made it this far?
No.
But first time in a long, long time, right? Till they've made it to the final.
Yeah. 2016.
Well, that's not that long. That's not that long ago.
Years ago.
Okay, so I guess what I'm thinking of, they haven't been in the finals since, I mean...
The beginning of the, 1970.
Way,
the
franchise. 1970.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the stat that I had read, and I misread it, that we haven't been in the finals.
Who did they play the last time that they were in the Stanley Cup Finals?
Was that the Bruins?
Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
A very famous picture.
Bobby Orr.
Bobby Orr flying through the air after he scored, and Noel Picard, it's a term called he pitchforked him. So when Bobby Orr scored, Noel Picard took his stick under Bobby Orr's ankle and just lifted him up in the air.
Yeah.
I've got an autographed copy of that from Noel Picard, God rest his soul. And they ended up becoming very, very good friends.
Hey.
So, I mean, here, Noel, he just loses the Stanley Cup final. That was, you know, game four, because I don't, the Blues, it's another trivia question. How many Stanley Cup final victories do the Blues have?
None.
None.
That's right. They were swept.
Well, you know, John, it's interesting. I interviewed years ago Noah Picard. I interviewed Noah Picard. He was a huge fan of your dad and of you. Listen to this. I'll play you. Just you'll hear me in the background. It's a little of the interview. Noel, I understand you're a huge Landolf fan. Is that correct?
He's a tough little tiger. I love that guy. Oh, well.
What?
I didn't sound like,
oh, well, Johnny had a cold. He had a cold that day.
Yeah.
Hey, here, I'll play a little bit. Now, let me play this part of the interview. No, hang on. Let me play this part of the interview. Noel, you don't sound like yourself. You sound like you got a little cold or something. Do you? Do you have a cold?
Got a little cold with some boogers. You know, tough little boogers up there.
Well, there you go. See, even in the interview, he acknowledged he had a cold. That's why he didn't sound the same. So there
no,
you are.
No, this doesn't sound like him at all.
How did
well,
he sound?
John, I'm sorry. That's an actual, authentic interview. That's an interview I did with him. They may not sound like it, but
absolutely. Again, you know, we talked. He's one of the nicest human beings, and he would sit in my office and we talked. Anytime he came in town, we gave him a vehicle to drive, and I felt honored that I get to hang out with Noel Picard for like an hour. And he'd go down and bring pictures and autograph pictures for. But when he would talk about Barkley Plager, he would start crying because. Barkley died at a very young age of cancer, and his brother Bobby is still part of the St. Louis Blues and has been since the 67-68, the very first team in St. Louis is the St. Louis Blues.
You remember Ron Caron?
I remember Ron Caron.
What's wrong with your voice? You know, did you just start choking on something?
Blue, I play a very good game in the third period.
No. Here's how I know that doesn't sound anything like him. I interviewed Ron Caron years ago, and he loved your dad. He loved your dad.
Everybody
he really admired your dad. Well, huh?
Everyone what? Loved my dad.
Well, but here's proof of it. I'm interviewing him, and I said, Ron, well, play it for me. Hang on a second.
Ron, I understand you really, really admire John Landolf Sr. and look up to him. Is that true?
Yes, I do. I saw him when you were talking with Noel Picard in the third period. I love John Landolf Sr. He was a good man.
He was a good man. He was alive when I did that interview.
He sounded like he was a little Mexican.
He had a cold
second.
That day too.
Yeah.
They all of them were together, and they all had caught a cold traveling. Yeah, he had the same cold that Noel Picard had.
I got punched in the face by Bob Probert one time.
I've got to turn it off. Let me turn it off. It was a great interview. I'll never forget that he granted me that interview. So, John, how are you?
Oh, Frank, are you kidding me? Come on.
Unbelievable.
Getting to hang out and talk to you, you know, it's fantastic. You know, I mean, it's just the most exciting thing that I could do.
Like a dream come true. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did have lunch down at Trilly Gito's downtown.
Free lunch.
With the mayor. That's Ron Caron.
Blues general manager Ron Caron. It's a game of.
So I just Googled Ron Caron interview and
look at John Landolf acting like a radio producer.
Wow.
Doing up audio. Whoa, that's pretty impressive. That was impressive. Look out, Limey.
Once I figured out how to dial up Google, who knows how many times I get on Google a day, it made me so smart. I mean, it's just. You can Google anything. It's amazing.
Well, I've said this several times. There's no excuse for being stupid. Because anything you don't know or word you don't understand, you Google it. There's no excuse anymore. You can't say, well, I couldn't make it to the library. You don't need the library.
Ron Caron used to get up in the press box before they moved him, had to move him over across the ice. He used to sit up there when they would sing the national anthem, and he'd go,
Oh, for crying out loud, get this game going. This song's too long.
Well, the reason why they moved him out of the press box, the final reason why they moved him out of the press box, because I interned for the team that year, is that he got upset at a call on the ice, and he picked up a portable chair, and he threw it through the air, and it punched a hole in the drywall and almost hit two people in the head.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why they had to move him.
And he also...
Was he the general manager? What was he?
He was the general manager.
Okay. Yeah. Who was the general manager who after hockey went on to become a TV anchor? Ron Caron Burgundy.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Hebe. Thank you, Hebe. Appreciate it, buddy.
Seriously,
come on, Ron Caron Burgundy. Jealous.
I thought you were going to say Ron Caron Jeremy.
No, he went into porn. He went into porn. Of course, this could go all day. The one that left went into politics, Ron Caron Reagan. We could do that, too. Now he's found out how to pull this stuff up.
Here we go.
Good quality.
One of your favorite songs?
Oh.
That's one of my favorite songs now, I tell you what. So you know the whole story about that?
Yeah.
Tell us, please.
There were about seven players, and they were in town for a game in Philadelphia that night, and there was a football game, wild card game on, so they went to a bar, and they said it was, you know, tucked away down in the city, a few blocks from the hotel, and the DJ started, you know, played that song, Gloria. And all these older folks that were in the bar get up and they start dancing, right, you know, and dancing and just, you know, dancing really pretty goofy. And so the players, like, paid the DJ, you know, like, I don't know, 40, 50, 60 bucks, maybe 100 bucks to say, keep playing it over and over. We just want to continue to watch these people dance. And they were laughing. And so, I mean, bam, they'd want to go sit down. Here came again, Gloria. They'd get back up and they'd start dancing again. And I think the players got out there and danced with them a little bit. And that was it. It was Steiner, number 20, that said, he goes, we're going to play this after in the locker room after every victory. And they won that game. That was, I think, Jordan Bennington's first game. Did he shut out Philadelphia?
Yes.
His first game?
Mm-hmm.
That was it. They dialed up Gloria, and now it's a legend. And the singer has actually reached out to the Blues and thanked them, like, so much, because now that song is being Googled so many times that it's really pretty funny.
Well, wait, it's the singer's family, Laura Branigan, because Laura Branigan died.
Laura Branigan, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But, now, is that a true story? Did you make that up? That's a true story?
Okay. Google it.
Yeah, that's actually a true story, but Laura Branigan is dead, so I think her family or somebody else reached out to them.
She might still have a...
probably reached out with a hand saying, where's our money for the publishing? No, I'm serious. Anymore, you can't play anything without somebody going, hey, you have the right to do that. And maybe they pay it. I don't know.
I'm sure they are. It's the St. Louis Blues. You know, so, hey, when's it going to stop raining?
I don't know. I got a really nice, actually, it was a text from a guy named Chuck Lowe who bought a pickup truck from you, long time loyal listener, so I wanted to let you know that he's thrilled to death about his Chevy truck. So thank you, Chuck, for letting me know that. I always like it when people, you know, email me and say, hey, you know, we just got a new fill in the blank whatever from John Landolf. I like that, so feel free to do that, folks. Keep that coming. That's what keeps this whole machine operating. So what else do we need to know?
You got it, buddy. Well, tomorrow morning is the big North County Incorporated breakfast at the Airport Marriott, so I'll be there at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. And a very, very good breakfast served there with a lot of my favorite North Countyans. So,
Please tell me they'll have pancakes. They have to have pancakes.
No. That'll be scrambled eggs and hash browns. And the hash browns have, like, little diced, you know, green peppers and red peppers and little onions, so... Those are just delicious. They'll have a huge tray of Danish, of rolls. And the Johnny Landolf table, and that won't last long. Okay. we'll go digging through that stuff right away. But
I forgot there used to be a pancake breakfast years ago when we were in country music. Dan and I worked at Westport in the Gold Building, and Dan, if y'all remember this or not, every year they would send over just these plates of pancakes and syrup and stuff. Oh my goodness!
Oh, it was the it was out in St. Charles. It was like the 4-H Club or the Knights of Columbus. I can't remember what it was, but they would have a pancake breakfast every year.
And they never forgot us. They always brought pancakes. Folks, if you're listening and you have a big pancake breakfast, you could also not forget us if you want to. Come by and bring a stack of pancakes. I love pancakes, man. Waffles, pancakes, either one, I'll take them. There's not much better.
What's your favorite spot for breakfast? And I'm guessing you have probably a few favorite spots.
No, the very favorite's the old pancake, original pancake house down in Chesterfield Valley. The guy that runs that place runs a fantastic operation. And the orange juice is squeezed in front of you. They have an orange juice machine on the counter. And I don't know where he gets his oranges from, Florida. That's all I know. It's the best orange juice I have ever tasted. And it's squeezed right into the glass right there.
And the best scrambled eggs you'd ever have in your life.
Because, yeah, no, it's a great
place. Yeah, it's crazy good.
I know Uncle Bill's is good, but there are a lot of breakfast. You know, there's that, Time Out, or what's it called? The chain. And
I know.
First Watch, that's it. First Watch. Yeah, a lot of good places for breakfast. Breakfast is probably my most enjoyable meal because it always tastes better away from home. I don't know.
Cracker Barrel.
When you go out to breakfast, oh my goodness, Cracker Barrel. Yeah. Now that's real breakfast.
Did you hear the change of his voice?
Yes.
Well, that's the food I grew up on as a kid. That's Southern food.
Wipe the drool off your chin, okay? Come on, Frank.
I bet I'm the only one in this group that buys Jimmy Dean pork sausage at the grocery store. You're too Yankee-fied. You're not, you know, you don't have the roots to appreciate Jimmy Dean pork sausage.
I've had it, and Schnucks brand too, and they both taste the same. They don't taste
anything. Well, I'm not saying it's better than anything else. I just, that's what we, you know, when I was a kid, we ate Tennessee Pride. I think you can buy it here. Tennessee Pride country sausage.
Take home.
Always better than added sausage, but there is. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, take home for real country sausage, the best you ever tried. Take home a package of Tennessee Pride. That was their jingle.
Yeah.
For real country sausage, the best you ever tried. Take home a package of Tennessee Pride.
Oh, my.
Yep, little Tennessee Jed or whatever his name was.
One of my favorite spots for breakfast is Schneidhorst. They probably had
a thousand
more breakfast meetings there. And then there's the Shack, which is on Lindbergh, just not too far from Schneidhorst. Lindbergh, and I guess maybe a block or so north of Clayton Road. And then my sons have turned me onto a place called Kingside.
Another free breakfast.
Kingside,
yeah, in Clayton. Bonham Avenue. 80.
There are lots of tucked away neighborhood breakfast places we don't even know about that I'm sure are great.
There's, you know, and I don't really eat breakfast. For example, we'll go on these meetings, dealer meetings, and they have this huge buffet of breakfast every morning. And I'll say to myself when I'm up in my room getting ready for a 5-hour-long meeting, I'm like, don't eat breakfast, Johnny. You get down there and you see everyone kind of with a plate and they're all eating, they're reading magazines. I mean, newspapers, and I'm like, don't eat. All of a sudden, what am I doing? I'm getting up, I'm grabbing a plate, and I'm putting all the bacon and eggs and sausage and pancakes. Oh, God.
I'll tell you what makes a breakfast, even a mediocre breakfast, better is great bacon. Some good applewood bacon. Whew. Man, I love my last breakfast when we went to Vegas, and I did this every morning. I had 9 slices of bacon every morning for breakfast. 9. I love bacon. Well, when they give you like 2 slices, I've been places where the breakfast is 2. What are you, 2 slices? What are you kidding? That's like bacon appetizer. I just get a taste of it. That's not enough. At least 4 or 5. And you double that order, you get yourself 8 or 9 pieces. Good old bacon. I love it. And milk. My wife can't stand milk, and I love milk.
Oh, I love milk. I mean,
drink it.
I don't care. I mean, you know, some people are like, ugh, I can't drink milk in the summertime. Why? I love it. There's nothing like a cup of ice cold milk and a couple of Amy Duff's famous chocolate chip cookies.
Stop. You know, here, frost a mug, a beer mug, and then pour milk in that frosted mug.
I'm just going to say, I'm thinking, I don't know. There might be some chocolate chip cookies at the Window World.
Trivia night week from Saturday.
Nice.
We'll be looking for that. We'll be all over that. Our table's full now. We're ready to roll.
You look at that event, and you'll notice that the tables in the back, like, you know, they'll have you and I, we'll be right in the very front, right? And the tables in the back win. Why? Because they're all Googling for all the answers, and I mean, they're cheating their butts off to win. You don't count you win anything. Or if there is money, then you just donate it back to the charity. But
you know what? There ought to be secret spotters that you don't know are out there. And when they see somebody cheating, there ought to be a great big red light, a sign that goes, cheater, cheater, cheater. And they point out who it is.
I'm going to give Jim Lomax and John Gillette and Ken Webb. And I'm going to give them. That's a great idea because they have, like 60 of their employees there. Catch somebody cheating immediately, $100. It goes into the fund.
That's a great idea. A fine goes to St. Jude. That's a great idea. You get fined $100. I like that.
You can pick up another $2,000-$3,000. But, all right, well, listen, I'm going to go back to work, even though this has been work, trying to make this show what it is. My little 4-minute, 5-minute segment here. 314-837-1800. 314-837-1800. Again, 314-837-1800. 24/7, 365 at lawndoff.com. And
when did you ever have a 4 or 5 minute segment? When did that happen?
What?
You said my little 4 or 5 minute segment. You meant, I think you meant 18 minute segment.
Yeah, we're working on getting you a sponsor.
He's on so long, he has to have a sponsor for his sponsorship segment. Now, that's funny. That's funny. Johnny Londoff's long-winded commercial brought to you by Window World. Somebody's got to buy the time for him to talk that long. That's a good one. I like it.
When Jimmy Lomax and Jim told me, he goes, what do you think about this? We're going to be the official window of the St. Louis Blues. And I'll be honest. I mean, I love this guy, Jim Lomax. His dad worked for my dad for 15 years and taught me a lot about used car business, Jim Lomax Sr. I said, that's a great idea. And I'm thinking, why would you want to be the official window of the St. Louis Blues? And look at them now, going to the Western Conference Finals.
Good move.
Good move is right.
On their part. Now, let me just say something before you get away here, because this is disappointing to me, and it will be to you, too. I wanted $3,000 from somebody who wanted to bring a friend or spouse or whatever to play golf with you and with me, a foursome. You, me, two people. I didn't think that was unreasonable. That's $1,500 apiece for two other people to join us at your generous invitation to go to a private country club and have a nice meal. Nine and Dine. I like that name you gave it, Nine and Dine. We play nine holes. We have a nice meal. We get to know each other. I didn't get the $3,000. It's not over yet. I could still get it, folks, if you're listening.
Oh, you got a week to go, sir.
I got a week. I may be able to pull this off, but I don't think $3,000, I don't think that's an unreasonable request in terms of a bid.
You will have a lot of fun.
If
you think we're a little bit funny when we're on the phone together, wait until when we're riding just shoulder to shoulder in a golf cart or something. I mean, we just feed off each other. You're very, very funny. And I love you, Frank. You know, it's just...
John, I love you, too, and not in a sexual way. And anybody listening, here's the beautiful thing about playing golf with us. John's not a great golfer. He's certainly better than I am, but he would admit he's not great. I'm horrible. So you could be a horrible golfer, mediocre, or a great golfer. It doesn't make any difference. You can come show off if you're really good, and if you're bad, you'll feel right at home. It'll be fun. The food will be good. The company will be good. $15, $100 apiece from two people, that's $3,000. Think about it, folks, because I think it's money well spent. Plus, it's deductible. It goes to St. Jude, for goodness sakes. Yeah,
You go to a great country club and great food, and I'll get spotters for us. That's way, you know, this way they will be finding your ball, and this way you walk right up, and they'll have a towel, and bam, here you go. You're not spending, you know, sometimes a few minutes unless you're like Frank and you're just always in the fairway.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that's me.
All right, kids, I'm going to go sell a car.
All right, John. We'll send you some business. They're on the way.
Thanks, Frank.
Bye. All right, thank you. Bye-bye. That is a little hurtful. I really thought I'd get... I got it 2 years ago. I got three. It turns out that our other guest player couldn't make it. He got a job offer, John Goodman, but we still got the money because Goodman paid for it. And I don't think $1,500 a piece from two people is unreasonable. And we still may get it. I hope we do. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do, but I'll go last.
Well, what a gentleman. What an unselfish... Oh. Gentlemen. Anybody else?
That's nice. I don't
either.
So see, he probably knew that. That's why I'll make myself look like
I didn't know that.
Ladies and gentlemen, going last, offering to go last, the always considerate Tim Woodburn.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
I had a new backyard fence installed today. I am wounded here in the studio with a huge bandage around my thumb because I almost chopped my thumb off as I was pruning trees so that they wouldn't charge me to do that when they're putting my fence up. It reminded me, though, of one of the funny stories of my childhood. My father, God rest his soul, called up all of his buddies when he lived in a house in St. Charles, and he was in his 30s when he did this, and he called up all of his buddies and said, hey, I just got this new house. I'm having a barbecue. I'm going to supply all the beer. I got all the food. You know, maybe bring a side dish if you want, but if not, it's no big deal. Hey, come on, see my new house. 3 acres of property in St. Charles. Got a big backyard. Softball and volleyball and, you know, all this other stuff, and be a great time, and come out and spend a Sunday with me. And he was a car salesman and a very popular guy and great personality. Had a lot of friends at the time. And I was there, and I was about 10 or 11 years old when this went down. And unbeknownst to any of my dad's friends, he had rented a post hole digger. Because when all of his friends got there, he said, hey, listen, before we eat, can you guys help me out with this? And he had like 10 of these handheld post hole diggers.
The manual kind where you stand and jam them down to the ground like a pair of tweezers. Yeah. I thought you meant the corkscrew.
Like an electric one, yeah.
Well, he had both because he was going to dish them out. He had one big one that it took two men to actually use this thing. Useful. And then he had 10 more for the individual guys. Which the guys in my backyard today were doing that, by the way, the individual ones. But he had to bait his friends to come out and help. And he had a 3-acre property, so that they probably dug about 40 post holes.
They did it.
He put them to work for 3 hours while the wives drank cocktails and stuff. And a couple of his friends said, "Oh, what?" They called him Woody. They said, "Oh, Woody, this is ridiculous. I didn't come out here. Come on, honey, let's go."
It worked for Tom Sawyer. That's what Tom Sawyer did.
What?
Got his fence painted that way. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. You know, other people do the work. I thought you were, auger was the word I was looking for. Is that the name?
Yes. Auger.
That's what
it was. You ever see anybody use one of those? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I've used one.
There's a hole that it would have taken you, who knows how long to, chip away at.
Right.
Clump by clump.
My dad
used to put in, when I was a kid, everybody had clothesline poles and they were metal. And if you really wanted them put in right, you set them in concrete. And I can't tell you how many times, every time we'd move, he would get those old wooden handle post hole diggers out and start digging. Oh my God! And dig down. You have to go way down to pour that concrete base.
Well, the worst is one of those weed whackers where it was like a triangle on the end of a pole instead of one of those electronic weed eaters, and you had to sit there and whack the weeds with that thing.
Yes.
When they got real tall.
You're talking about the old sling blade.
Yeah,
right?
I did that.
Geyser blade.
I had slave labor on that for about 3 years of my teenagehood.
We had one. We had a ditch in front of our house, and I always had to go out there and clean the weeds out of that ditch, slinging that blade. And you're right. It was nothing more than a bent piece of sharp metal on the end of a stick with two screws screwing it into a stick.
I hated it. And
the movie Sling Blade, that's what he killed his mother with Carl, and that's why he went to the nut house. He killed her and her lover with a sling blade.
Called it a Kaiser blade. I called it a sling blade.
Yeah, that's why the movie's called that. That's why they put him in an institution because he murdered them with a Kaiser blade. Some people call it a sling blade. Some call it a Kaiser blade. Which did he call it in the movie? What's the line in the movie? Does he say?
He said Kaiser.
Some folks called it a Kaiser blade. Is that what he said?
No, he calls it a Kaiser blade.
Okay, so he says, some folks call it a sling blade. I call it a Kaiser blade.
Yeah.
Yeah, I cut his head clean off with it.
Yeah.
That's a great expression, isn't it? Clean off.
Yeah.
Cut his head clean off. I haven't heard that since I was a kid. Was there anything else, Tim?
No, I just had a chuckle. You know how people pass and then you think about memories for no reason, and that popped into my head today because for the next 25 years after that, every time he would have a party at his house, literally every one of his friends would be like, are we going to do any work out there? Is this a legitimate party? Or
no kidding.
They would have to vet him because he rope-a-doped about 40 buddies of his because that was hard work. You know, what guy would dig one hole and he'd be tired and hand it off to the next guy and he'd have to dig one. And I mean, he put him to work for 3 hours.
Anytime he'd invite anybody over, you're always afraid.
Yeah, that's all.
What are we going to put on now, a roof? You know what? My dad did that to me one time. I was moving, and I was in my 20s. I told my dad, he said, do you need anything? He was coming over to help, and I had a bunch of friends coming over to help. And I said, I'll have beer. And I said, yeah, pick up a couple of cases of Bud Light. So he comes over, and this is when they had that plain label beer. Remember that? It would had it just said beer on the can.
It was a white can and just had the letters
six
beer.
Squares.
Yeah.
He brings over like two or three cases of beer. That's it.
Cheap
those things. Yes. And I'm like, what is this? Well, this was on sale. I'm like, it's always on sale. I had to take the beer over to the other place. And when everybody got there, they said, where's the beer? I said, oh, it's over at the other place. We took it over there. And
too bad you couldn't have opened all the cans and poured them in a big pitcher. And, you know, they would know it came out of the plain label beer.
Oh, my God. He would do that to us, though, when we go over there for holidays or something like that. And he would be drinking a beer, and it's like, anybody want a beer? And so we'd go, yeah, sure, we'll take a beer.
You
know,
one of the few good things about getting old is nobody asks you to help them move anymore. You know, when you're young, if you got any friends at all, hey, man, move Saturday, you come help. Okay. And you feel like you have to. You get old, nobody's going to ask you. They don't want to be liable and on the hook for your medical bills when you have a heart attack or break a hip or something. So you don't have to move anymore. Dan, that's fine with me.
Dan, the best one was when my dad married his second wife, and her family came from some significant money. And not that this matters, but they were Jewish, and they were all pretty wealthy, and he had a big party at his house, like to kind of for everybody to meet our family and his family, and Dad had to buy all the beer, and he was a cheapskate, so he went to Schnucks or Deerberg's, and he bought like six cases of Schaefer beer, which is the beer that we drank in college because you could buy a case of it for like $5.
Oh yeah,
and he bought all this cheap beer. He knew these people weren't like, you know, beer drinkers or beer drinking connoisseurs or whatever. He went and got it at some discount store, and so when everybody came, he goes, "Hey, and it's so nice to meet you. And as a token of my appreciation for meeting all you people, I had some German beer imported for this party. It's Schaefer. Try a Schaefer beer." And I was like, "Ooh, Schaefer. Oh, this is good. This is important. And and he got away with that. We laughed our tails off about that for years after he did that.
Oh, if hey, my dad was sitting there, drinking a Bud Light or something.
What's the difference really between like a really cheap beer, like that plain label stuff, and a Bud? I mean, what is it in the taste that would you immediately notice? And what do they leave out to save money to make it cheaper?
There's an aftertaste, like the Milwaukee's Best with the Beast, we used to call it, or Schaefer.
The Beast.
Yeah. Or there's an aftertaste to it. That's, it's like a bad cigar versus a good cigar. I know you're a cigar guy, Frank.
Why do you never hear names anymore like Hams, Land of the Sky Blue Water? Why don't we ever hear
it's still
Hams
out there, though, isn't it?
I know, but they don't advertise. They used to advertise like crazy.
Yeah.
The bear was all over TV. What the heck happened?
What do you think? Why are you a beer drinker?
I'm a beer drinker, absolutely. My only issues when it comes to like, drinking beer, and everybody says, oh, it's all the hops. To me, it just tastes like aluminum. It just tastes like metal. Like, you can, when you get these craft beers, like, you can just taste the, like, the steel that it was brewed in. For me, just, like, simple Bud Light. Unless, of course, I'm on the river or I'm floating, then I will drink some Natty Light and I will drink it all day long. I don't care how cheap it is. It's good when you're on the river.
Beer has become like wine now. You go to some of these places and they have taps all over the place.
You know, little Tara, who used to work next door here at the Kirkwood Brewhouse, she works up the street now at a different restaurant. And I was sitting there having lunch, and these two women came in with samples of a beer that they want to try and get them to pour. They've already got 34 different beers on tap at this place. They used to go into a bar and you'd have, what, five?
Yeah.
Maybe 34. Yeah. They're like, oh, well, what are your two worst sellers? Why don't you try these? You know, and she was like, they were like giving out free samples.
Wow.
To try and get to be one of the 34.
Wow.
You just reminded me of a great story. My wife and I were traveling on the road a couple of years ago, and we went in a place, and it was one of those places that had, honest to goodness, like 50 different levers, you know, tappers, all these different kinds of beers. And, I'm not a beer drinker, but it was hot, and we were, you know, we've been driving. So if it's hot and the beer's really cold, and I always ask, do you have a frosted mug or a frosted glass? And they said, yeah. I said, which beer, it'd have to be a light beer for me. Which would you say is like the lightest, easiest to knock down? And this girl names this sort of craft beer. I never heard of it. She said, that's my personal favorite. I said, okay. So she brings it to me. And this has happened to me more than once in a restaurant, not with beer, but other things. I hear her at another table recommending a beer, and she says to the guy, that's my personal favorite, and it's not the same beer that she gave me.
Of course.
So I called her. My wife says, don't call her up. I said, no, she's not getting away with it.
Oh, I would have.
And I've done it with food too, because I've heard waitresses say, well, a lot of people really like our chicken fried steak, it's my personal favorite. And then I'll hear them tell somebody else that trout is their personal favorite, and when I do, I call them over. So I called her over and I said, help me out here. When I ordered this beer and asked for a suggestion, you said it was your personal favorite. I just heard you tell those people over there that another beer was your favorite. Of course, all she'd say was, well, those are both equally my favorite. Yeah, get out of here. That's right. Not the answer. That's not the right answer. You know what you're doing, and I know what you're doing.
So I want to finish my story here real quick with my dad. Okay. He would be sitting there with a Bud Light or something like that, and we'd go over and say, hey, can we have a beer? And he'd go, yeah, sure. And he gets in the refrigerator.
How old were you?
Oh, we were like in our 20s. We are, okay. Yeah.
10.
15. 15. Yeah, he would get in the refrigerator and bring out a 905 light. Remember 905?
Party begins at 905. What a great slogan.
And we're like, what is this? And he goes, well, it's my guest beer.
905 used to have a store right at the intersection of Lindbergh and Lee May Ferry. My grandparents drank it, and those were back in the days when you would drink beer and you'd save the bottles and take the case of bottles back into the store to get your 5 cents a bottle back.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Take that off the next case that is going to go right back out the door.
Yeah.
But you talk about a great marketing slogan, and I'm big on slogan. The party begins at 9:05. Mm-hmm. I always thought that was really clever.
Yeah.
And I wonder why they didn't make it. Why, and is the cheap dirt, that guy's gone too, right? Are they still around?
Fred? No, Dirt Cheap's still around.
Yeah, Dirt
no,
they're still around, but it's a different guy.
What do you think
now
killed 9:05? What killed something?
I'll tell you
like
what it is, Frank, because now in Missouri, the party starts at 4:20.
you got that right. Yeah, that ought to be somebody's dispensary slogan if they don't have it already. The party begins at 4:20. Was it just bad taste? Was it just cheap crap that wasn't any good and nobody was they weren't buying enough of it?
No, they carried other beer. They carried all kinds of stuff. It was like a Dirt Cheap without cigarettes, basically.
And then what's the next level up from the plain label or 905? What would be the Stag or what would be like the blue collar, not even blue collar, like we're on a really tight budget.
Based on price. Well, that's what college kids, when I went to Mizzou, that was when you walked into Schnucks in Columbia, Missouri, which I used to work there actually, the number one stock beer was the cheapest beer sold, and it was basically neck and neck with Natural Light and Milwaukee's Best, the Beast.
Oh, Milwaukee's Best.
And it was,
yeah.
Because both, it wasn't like 3-2 beer. I mean, it was real beer.
It was real beer. It was just considered cheap, you know. And like, because Budweiser and Bud Light were always way more expensive, but they'd only have like one shelf of each of those beers, and they'd have two huge coolers of Milwaukee's Best and Natural Light because the kids wanted to save a buck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was the beer that made Milwaukee famous? Was that Falstaff or Schlitz?
I think Schlitz. The beer that made Milwaukee.
I want to say Schlitz.
It was Schlitz, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But see, now there's another example. You remember the slogan. I'm not sure. Wasn't positive about the beer, but I think it. What was Falstaff's? Falstaff. Did they have a slogan?
Papa Joe that, Greasy Dick.
What?
Wasn't that?
What did you just say? No, Limey. Yeah. Limey. That's a St. Louis
that's
beer name. Greasy
name.
Dick beer. Can you imagine? No. For somebody like Limey who's never heard it, that has to stop him in his tracks. What was it called? Greasy Dick. Are you kidding me? No,
if any
name would ever kill a product, that would be the name. I mean, what a name.
I had a friend in college, and that was his last name, and his father was a surgeon. Here in St. Louis, it's Dr. Grease Dick.
Oh.
Dr. Grease Dick.
Do I have, see, I kind of want to dump it out, but no.
No,
I
you
guess
can't,
it's
but
fine,
it's an actual name. No, it's a family name, the Grease Dick brothers. They were beer brewers. Yeah.
Falstaff has several slogans. The choicest product of the brewer's art, America's premium quality beer, and the choicest product were their big slogans.
You know how many people... Nobody under, I don't know, certainly 40, 50, can't even imagine what we're talking about. We used to turn on the TV, and we're bombarded by beer and cigarette commercials. I mean, every other commercial was beer, cigarettes, and the Marlboro Man. And my favorite to this day was Löwenbräu. And we played it a few months ago. Here's to good friends. Tonight is kind of special. The beer will pour. Must be something with so or somehow. So tonight, tonight, let it be Löwenbräu. Thank you. Nice. And the man who sang it was a guy named Arthur Prysock. Everybody thought it was Billy Eckstein. It was Arthur Prysock. It was a beautiful baritone voice. And man, when you heard that commercial, you absolutely thought Löwenbräu was about three notches above any other beer. And the other great marketing job I thought that they did to establish a beer as a special beer for special occasions was Weekends Were Made for Michelob. That was a great campaign, man. I guess the reason they stopped it was when they thought, well, do we really only want to sell it on weekends? We're kind of limiting ourselves. But it was a real good campaign that established Michelob as just a little bit above, you know, Bud or Bud Light or Bush or whatever.
So a guy, Jim just called and said that 905 yeah. was named 905 because the original location was at 905 Olive Street Road.
Okay. Yeah, I never did know why they called it.
Yeah.
I know they took it and made a good campaign out of it. All right, as I said earlier, I guess we should close. Anything more for the Burke segment?
No, I think we're good.
Shut her down. Burke segment's officially closed. I don't know how to thank you folks enough. I mean, I know you did it for me, but on behalf of little Jude Hewitt and his family, we were struggling a little bit there with money for them. And last I checked, which was a few minutes ago, we're just at the $9,000 mark, which I want to tell you, that's good. Their goal was 20. And I told you yesterday, I'm not going to keep hammering away at this. I know you're not listening to be hit up for money. But to those of you who came through and said to yourselves, you know what? Maybe he's right. We could throw a little money at this. We're not gonna go without a meal because of it. A lot of you did that. And I went and looked. I saw your names. I know who you are. So thank you on behalf of that family. And that'll be kind of it for us. Again, I don't want to just stay on it, but I hope it's not the end of the donations. And I got quite a few emails from people who didn't understand how to donate to GoFundMe. Well, folks, I've never, ever participated or given money to any GoFundMe page ever till this, and I usually struggle with how to pay for it. It's so easy. You go to GoFundMe.com, and there's a search bar. You type in Jude Hewitt, H-U-E-T-T, and up will come little Jude's page, and you can click on it. It'll show you right where they are currently with donations, and there's a little tab that says Donate. Click it, and it couldn't be easier. They'll ask you for a credit card, and they request a 15% gratuity because that's how GoFundMe makes money. I mean, they can't just establish a site and raise money and take nothing, so they ask for 15%. I was happy to give them that. So that's how it works. But I still get people. One guy said, I don't do Facebook. I don't have a Facebook. It has nothing to do with Facebook. GoFundMe is its own site, and you don't need to do Facebook. You just need to have access to a phone, smartphone, or a tablet, any way to get online. And it's real easy to do, so I feel pretty good about that. I'll give you an update, too, on the Wonderworld Trivia Night. I feel good about that. And then one more time here, let me just throw out and remind people. I'll do this a couple more times next week because Trivia Night is a week from this Saturday. And that's about the Nine and Dine with John Londoff. Do I know that a lot of people don't have $3,000 for nine holes of golf? Of course I know that. But I also know that a lot of people do. A lot of you do. So if you'd like to meet him, you'd like to meet me, maybe you already know us, doesn't matter. You want to hang out, play nine holes, and have a great food at a private country club. I don't belong to country clubs, but I've never been to one where they didn't have great food. You know what I'm talking about? It's like every country club has great food. So you'll eat well, you'll have fun playing, we'll swap some jokes, and you can feel good about your $3,000 for two of you to play contribution to St. Jude Children's Hospital through Window World. Scott Sherman will join us after the news. So if I were you, I would start calling now. Hopefully you know the numbers. If you don't, we'll give them to you right out of the news. And Scott's got some good free legal advice for you. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Larry Connors. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, and 590thefan.com St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. President Trump intends to nominate Patrick Shanahan as defense secretary. Shanahan has been acting defense secretary since the resignation of James Mattis. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders cites Shanahan's outstanding service. President Trump is suggesting North Korea may not be ready to negotiate serious